Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Lorian Fenton. Lorian, you were telling us about this incident with the helicopter above the house, and just after you had popped open your laptop and had the thought, I wonder if, what's her name?
Acelaria.
Acelaria. I wonder if she remembers this other event. And then it happens again. You have the helicopter above
exactly.
your head.
Exactly. And it's much more of an experience this time because there's three glowing lights out there that I think are a triangle spaceship. And, you know, it's bumped itself up to a whole new level, folks. And the fear was pretty amazing, but I was surprised. I mean, I got to tell you, I was very surprised at myself walking forward and looking out that window to see those lights. Because from what I understand, I've talked to a lot of people since then about it, and most of them are just so fearful they just stand in the center of the room and close their eyes, you know. And so thank God I had enough, you know, whatever gumption or or stupidity to walk forward and actually look up and see what was going on out there, or I would never have seen those three lights.
Well, how does this play into you being in the Super Soldier program?
Well, yeah, let me explain. Let me go further on. I'm going to finish this story pretty quick here for you folks, but it really sets the groundwork for how this has all happened to me. So anyhow, so that next morning I ask everybody to say, no, we never heard it. We go back to the conference, and this is the day that I needed to speak with Bill Ryan about a person that I was repping at the time, and I needed to clarify some things that we were working on together. So, and I knew I had to do that before the end of the conference because Bill was moving to Ecuador and I really needed to talk to him. So right after Sean David Morton spoke at the conference, I ran up to Bill's seat at the front of the conference room, and there was a young man kneeling in front of him and holding on to this cube, and Bill was holding on to it as well, sitting in his chair, and they were meditating together with this cube. And I just got mesmerized and I got drawn into it, and I probably stood there the whole 2 minutes they were meditating or whatever with this funny looking little cube. And then they came out of their little meditation and I popped back to reality too, and I waited till they were done speaking, and the kid that I thought was a kid, turns out he's, you know, almost 30 years old. His name is James Rink, and he introduced himself to me and said, I heard you're putting on a super soldier conference. I'm a super soldier. I said, how did that happen? I said, I just mentioned it yesterday. He goes, oh, everybody's talking about it. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. I only mentioned it to two people. So, it was quite interesting how he approached me, and I have no idea that he was a super soldier. So, you know, I said, well, look, let's talk later. I talked to Bill. I went back to my table to start packing up. Forgot I'd even talked to him. And he shows up at the table, and I'm looking down at the moment, and Acelaria starts to talk to him. And I look up at him, and then I glance over at the gentleman that he brought with him to the table, and it was Max Spears. And, folks, it was just like, I was just telling a friend of mine, it was like deja vu to a million. I looked up and I took a look at his face, and the first words out of my mouth were to him, I know you. And he looked at me and he goes, well, I don't know you. And I said, but I know you. And it was like I recognized a long lost brother, you know, father. It was crazy. I can't even describe it to people. It was so intense, the emotion involved with it. And then I thought, oh, this is really odd, but I'm going to let that go. Hey, I'm very good, guys, at just taking everything that happens to me and going, I'll deal with it later. I'm like Scarlett O'Hara. It's always, I'll deal with that tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, tomorrow's a good day.
And thank God for that. You know, thank God I'm that kind of person, because a lot of people that these things happen to get very caught up in the moment and it kind of break down and fall apart. But anyhow, so I'm talking to him and James, and we're all becoming friends. And I said, hey, let's all go have dinner together. So we ended up at the house we were staying at in Anaheim. We had a nice meal there. We're talking the whole night. Now, as the evening progresses, Max and James are starting to tell me more and more about their experiences. Now, the only super soldier stories I had ever heard before was Duncan O'Finian and Aaron McCullen because of Carrie Cassidy's Project Camelot, and I'd watched the video. So I knew enough about those two that I thought that was the norm. Well, it turns out super soldiers, And I really do detest the word super soldiers, but it happened to be what they coined this. And in my opinion, folks, it's way beyond super soldiers. It's my labs combined with the alien people, combined with our government, combined with scientists, combined with mind control. And it is way beyond what we're talking about. And we'll get into that later after I finish the story. But and Satanism. Satanism and the Nazis are involved. Time travel's involved. And there's all kinds of things involved in this. So, anyhow, back to my story. I'm speaking with Max, and he's telling me some of the satanic and Nazi parts of this, and just a little bit. And every time he talks about it, I start getting sick to my stomach, and I don't know why. And I couldn't eat, and I was having some real problems digesting the conversation. And when we talked just about those two specific things.
So you had actual physical revulsion at this?
Yes, I was having real problems eating. And believe me, folks, I'm way overweight, and eating is never a problem for me. So I have no problem. And that night I did. I had my stomach would just like almost want to be sick to my stomach. That's how bad every time he brought up that thing to me. And I was like, oh, dear. So they finally leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. And here's the turning point in my life. This is the night that changed everything for me. I woke up that morning. And in that state between awake and, asleep and awake, I had what they call in the super soldier, my labs world or all wherever, you know, a total recall moment. And it probably lasted all of maybe 45 seconds here. But in my mind, it was like months and weeks and minutes and seconds all rolled into one, into this giant story of what happened to me. And I am not telling anybody what happened to me yet. I will tell people the fringe parts of it because it involves a lot of sex and craziness and emotions and love and torture. And I just really can't go into it. I will write it in my book. I've decided to, but I've got to get permission from Max about each part of it because he's involved in it. And that's why I can't be, you know, telling all the story. But I will tell you this part of it. During the whatever experience that was that happened to me, and I'm going to go into why I think it may be a future, past, or different dimension later on. But whatever happened to me, I was about 17 years old and Max was 23. So there's a little twist to it already. And in this, I think I'm in the Bavarian Alps somewhere, and I recognize the structure and the places in the room, and I see some Nazi soldiers in there, but they aren't really Nazis because they're wearing black and it's a little different than the Nazi outfit, so it's got a whole twist to that too. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, this is what I'm seeing, okay? And the emotions when you have this type of recall event are way beyond what I would say is anything like being on acid. It is way beyond that, folks. If you've ever done any drugs like that and had an emotional moment during it, this is like take that and put it on steroids and then you got it. I mean, it quakes you to your soul. That's the type of experience you have when you have a recall of an abduction or a My Labs or a super soldier event or whatever. And I woke up, I was coming awake when it all happened, and I finally get to full consciousness, and I am so freaked out that all I could do was start crying. And I couldn't stop crying. It was one of those crying jags where you're so overwhelmed by what's happened to you that you can't stop crying. And I cried for, I think, 3 or 4 hours. I gave myself a migraine. I was I was dehydrated by the end of it. Mm-hmm. And poor Isolaria, she didn't know what was happening to me, and all I could do was double over in bed and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. And I had to drive to San Francisco that day. So finally at noon, she's pulling me together, and we just throw everything in the car, and I drive back, and I'm just wrung out. And I get home that night, and it took me 3 months to process that. 3 months of every day going to work and then coming home and thinking about it and what happened and blah, blah, blah. And I finally realized, folks, after 3 months, that's all I wanted to know. It was enough of an indoctrination to me that it made me so angry that if I woke up and had this one type of experience, what is happening to the poor people out there that are super soldiers, mind control, mentoring candidates, whatever you name it, that they have these, like, once a week, once a month, you know, every day, who knows, how can they live a life with that kind of stuff going on? And that's not even the people that are being AI'd or TI'd. Those are the people that get the voice-to-skull communication, and they're being controlled and, you know, whatever.
Well, explain to the audience what you mean by AI'd and TI'd.
That's artificial intelligence, where they think that there's some type of grid out there that's controlling them and using them as mentoring candidates and super soldiers. There's a group of people out there that have that going on with them right now. There's a group of people out there like Ron Gilman in Seattle who has definite voice-to-skull communication that's being targeted on him through what we think are satellite communications. And there's a lot of people out there that have all different, what I call, it's the smorgasbord of mind control. And it runs so many gambits, and it runs, you know, completely off the table. And that's what I put the Super Soldier, the second Super Soldier Summit together for, was to expose a lot of these different areas where they are controlling people. But anyhow,
what is the TI?
A TI, targeted individual.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're using. I'm sure you've heard of that, Kevin, right?
Yeah, but I had not heard it called the TI. I've heard targeted individual.
So. Yeah, well, there's so many of them in my world now that I've got them all down to little letters and numbers.
Okay.
Because I have to, because there's just so many. You guys wouldn't believe it. Anyhow, as long as I get into the story. So that was a day that changed my life, everyone. I had the experience. It took me 3 months to process it. During that 3 months, I became friends with Duncan and Axe and started to put on the Super Soldier Summit, the first one. And during our relationship, Duncan decided he did not want to be involved with it because of other people I was bringing in. And Aaron decided the same thing. He did not want to be involved because of certain people I was bringing in. Anyhow, I got...
And I want to talk with you about that, too, because, see, I ran into that sort of... And I will say that it's my words. I ran into that sort of nonsensical crap in trying to deal with super soldiers.
Yes, and you will, Kevin. Let's talk about that for a minute. I will gladly talk to you about what goes on. What happens to these guys is they are programmed in many different programs. There's the Monarch program, the IBIS program, the... my brain is going south on me right now. I'm sorry, but right now I know of like 16 programs that I have heard of and cataloged, okay? And these different programs, they pretty much are all programmed at about 30 years old to kill themselves. And they usually do between 30 and 33 if they're really part of the military side of the programs. And if they don't kill themselves, things usually spiral out of control for their life. And they have many personalities, and they all fight each other, and they are programmed to fight other super soldiers or mind control people so that they never get together and expose what is really happening to all of them in one place at the same time. So I was told that I would never be able to put on this summit, that it would never happen, because people had tried for years to put something like this together, and it was impossible because they'd all kill each other. So, I mean, I have to laugh because I was like, huh? Why? You know, thank God I was very naive when I got into this, because I really had no idea.
Let me tell you what I ran into. I ran into, and I've had several of these guys on the show, but I ran into, you didn't want to be on the show because I had the other guy. I had one. I'm not going to name any names here, but I had one who played hard to get, and I don't play that game. I mean, you either want to be on my show or you don't. If you don't, fine. If you do, fine. But I'm way too busy, and there's way too many potential guests, and, you know, I just don't play the hard to get thing. After three times trying to get this guy, I finally said, it's not worth it. Then I get an email from out of the blue like 3 months later with information that's just absolutely urgent. I've got to be on your show tomorrow. Well, now, look, you do a show, right? You do two shows.
Yeah.
I schedule my guests in advance. As you know, I scheduled you a couple of weeks ago or something, you know, for tonight.
That's right. Right.
So I schedule in advance. And I said, well, that's just not possible. I'm sorry. I've got that booked. The first open date I have is, and I'll, whatever it was, I said, I'll be glad to put you right in there. And he hung up on me. And then he sends me an email, and the email says it'll be far too late by then. Okay, well, then it just is. You know, and I guess we'll just have to live through it, whatever it is. But that sort of turmoil, you know, I'm a zero drama guy. And that sort of drama, I finally just stepped away. I said, you know what? That stuff may be real, but it's just not productive for this show. And you're the first person related to super soldiers that I've had since then. I did have someone that reported on having been at the conference and who was there, who spoke, and things like that. But you're the first person related to the super soldier program that I have, or programs that I've had on the show since then, because I'm a zero drama guy.
Exactly. And you know, Kevin, it's interesting you bring that up, because that is what I am bringing to the super soldier community. I'm basically mother now to about six of them, and
God
I'm
help
teaching,
you.
I'm sorry?
God help you.
I know. And I say that in a very interesting way, because part of that experience that I had that brought me into the super soldier fray was the fact that I was in the middle of what I thought at the time was an interesting attempt at a breeding program. And I'm saying this for the first time ever live anywhere. I do believe that they were, if I am part of this, and if it is real, and if it is all happening as I think that they were using me in some sort of DNA breeding program experiment.
I know someone else who has been on this show, who is part of that, and has part of it medically documented.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm just awakening to this, folks. This is something that, you know, it took me about 3 months to figure out that I might have something to do with these guys. And then it took me another 3 months to one night on the phone talking with one of them. It was a woman. And I said to her, I said, my God, you sound like my sister. And then I realized she looks like my sister. And then I went, my God, you know, all of you guys look the same. It's not like it's all the girls look the same. They're very much so. There's a couple of them that don't. But if you look at the ones that are involved in the programs that are out there on the internet that profess to be involved in this, you start looking at them, they all kind of look the same. And I'm like, this is very odd, because they're all from very different families and different parents, and they're from all over the world. Why is it they all have this kind of genetic makeup that makes them all be similar? And then it got me thinking, oh my God, I wonder if I've been, you know, that whole vision that happened to me was part of a breeding program, and maybe they were using me in that. Now, I doubt that I have super genes or anything of importance, but maybe they needed to breed out. You know, I was in the dog showing world for a while when I was younger, and you always have to breed out to keep the line strong by bringing in some fresh DNA, and I do have A negative blood, so, you know, that may help. My father is O negative, which is a universal donor and very rare. I don't know if it's very rare, but I think my blood type is a little rarer than his, you know, whatever. But the point is, maybe they needed something. They needed something from my DNA. I don't know. This could all be a fantasy, and I haven't got a clue as if it's real or whatever. But
well, let me tell you who you should talk to. You should talk to Joe Montaldo, because his group did a blood type study, a statistical blood type study of abductees.
Oh, very interesting. You know, I think Melinda Leslie told me about that as well. Uh-huh. And that's very intriguing.
I met her in Sedona in 2009, and she is a fascinating person.
Oh, my God. Melinda has stories that'll blow your mind. And now that she's been to a speaker at my summit, she has even more to tell you, because now she's understanding that the super soldiers, the MyLabs people, the time travel guys, just like I came to the conclusion, are all intertwined. Everybody thinks Montauk's over here doing this, and Andy Bishago's over there doing that, and Melinda's down here doing this, and the super soldiers are on the other side of the planet doing that. No, folks. The key is here, if you look at it like you're looking at pieces of paper all laid out on the floor, like in that X-Files episode, one of the second or third one, where the girl goes missing from the camper, and they look down from up above, and all the paper makes her face. That's what it's about here, folks. It all intertwines. And I'm on the path to find people out there that understand what I'm talking about and are starting to work in conjunction with all the different factions of these fringe things and figuring out what the key is to bring us all together. And Melinda stumbled upon one of those keys at this last Super Soldier Summit. So she's got some new stuff to tell you next time you talk to her. So where were we? We're going far afield.
Well, I shared with you when we came back from break the turmoil and drama that I encountered
and
just trying to schedule people.
Yeah, and then back to what I was trying to tell you is what I'm doing with the super soldiers, the six or seven that I deal with, and it's now growing to 12 or 13 with the mentoring candidate types and the targeted individuals and whatever. What I'm trying to do is teach them all that they need to stop acting like a bunch of crazy people, because no one's going to listen to you. You need to sit down and stop what I call, and I've just coined this in the last couple months. It's called looping. It's where in their head they keep going, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I got to find out why this is happening to me. Oh my God, I'm a victim. Okay. These are the phone calls I get, folks. I have opened my phone up here at my office to anybody who wants to call me that thinks they're a super soldier, and I can pretty much weed them out in like 1 minute.
Yeah. That's a good question. How, because when you talk to these people, they tell you things that are so off the wall,
right?
That's not a problem for me, but I mean, they tell you stuff that's so off the wall. How do you sort out who's telling you the truth?
There's a couple of tricks I got to keep under my belt so that I'm the only one that knows.
Okay.
But I will tell you, there are a couple of other triggers that I can tell you right now. If they call me and they say, I hate this, I don't want to talk about it, nobody understands, and I don't want to be famous, I just want to be find other people that are having the same issue so I can talk to them, then I know that they're somewhat on the right path and they're probably telling the truth.
Okay.
It's the ones who call me and go, oh, you know, I've been in four mental hospitals and no one listens to me, and will you listen to me and tell? I want to tell you my story, and I'm so amazing, and I'm this and I'm that, and I'm like, okay, fine. In 30 seconds, they're gone. I never talk to them again, because there's something inherently wrong with these people. But
there's something wrong with the super soldier too, but it's something that's been done to them.
Exactly. And what people need to understand, I mean, let's back up here a little bit. At the Super Soldier Summit, Kerry Cassidy did a video with Max Spears and Michael Prince. And I thought it was wonderful that she got it out there. But the day after it hit the airwaves, I was getting hate mail. Literally, like, you know, a couple hundred hate mails hit my email box about the fact that I am promoting stone cold killers and they should all be in jail. This is a big problem with the super soldier, how people see them. What people forget is that these guys are, they've got at least 11 personalities, most of them.
These super soldiers. They do what they want, they do what they can, they do what they have to. If all of the information we have, if even a fraction of it, is accurate information, they live a pretty much hellish existence. And I've said the reaction that you got, Lorian, where you got some hate mail, promoting, as they said in the email, trained killers. I'm a trained killer.
Oh.
I mean,
well,
did you serve in the military? Well, it depends. No, I was police all of my life, and I was international police. But, you know, the politically correct thing is we are trained to save lives. But part of that training is there are times when you may have to kill somebody in order to save other lives. And are you trained to do it? Yes, I am trained to kill people. Every soldier, every cop is a trained killer. I want to tell you this quick story, and then I want you to pick up there and move on with what you were telling
us.
My last international police deployment was to East Timor. Loved it there, absolutely loved it. But we only worked in war zones. International police, we were only working in war zones. And there had been a super bloody war there. And so this was the rebuilding and restructuring and trying to get this new independent country up on its feet. And so one night in the capital city, you have things that are pretty much like you would have in any city. I mean, it's very tropical because it's close to the equator. But, I mean, you know, you have restaurants, you have hotels, you've got stores, you know, like any city. And like every city, you have good and bad parts of town. There's a really good restaurant that was right at the edge of a bad part of town. And so people that would go to this restaurant, obviously, you know, they had some money because they're going in there to eat at a restaurant that for the natives would be prohibitively expensive. Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of thugs that hang around, and, you know, they steal stuff out of cars, and they sometimes mug people and stuff like that. So I'm seated at a table with a bunch of other international cops, and one of them has a girlfriend who's in the Peace Corps, and she comes in. And so she decides she's going to interview everybody, and she, you know, why are you in East Timor? And everybody's giving her the politically correct statements, you know, because she's Peace Corps. Oh, I want to help the people and all that. Well, yeah, I do. That's why I'm a cop. All right. But why am I a cop there instead of Monroe, Louisiana? Because there I made $115,000. It's the same job. So why, you know, I can do that job in Monroe, Louisiana and make $24,000.
Right.
Or I can do that same job, take that same set of skills and serve my country in their mission there and make better money. So I told her. She says, why are you here? I said, for the money. And it shocked her, and everybody at the table sort of nervous laughed, you know. Oh my God. She said, well, that makes you just a hired gunslinger. I said, well, let me tell you something, sweetheart. You walk out that door tonight, because it's dark out there now. You walk out that door tonight and get mugged by some of those thugs standing on the curb, you're going to be pretty damn glad there's a hired gunslinger coming out the door behind you.
Yes, definitely.
And so, you know, I realize that with the Super Soldier program, these guys have been programmed and trained to do things that a lot of the public may think is objectionable.
Well, it, you know, and this is where I'm going to take it to another whole level, if you don't mind, Kevin.
Sure.
Two of the guys that I deal with, Max Spears and Michael Prince, were born into this.
Okay.
Their parents were bred for them to do this. They were not raised like normal children. Michael was raised in an airplane hangar, practically, and Max was raised by his family, but there was a lot of satanic abuse within the family, and so right there, they're already starting to fracture their minds and control them from the time they're born and start breaking down the personalities, because they need the different personalities to do these jobs, because one personality doesn't mind killing because that's all it knows, and the other one wouldn't have anything to do with it. you know? Mm-hmm. So there's two of them from birth. I got a girl from birth. I've got a couple others that went into the military and in their teenage years, and it happened to them. And another one that's very well versed in everything and has come out the other side very well is Alara Blackwell. And she, I think, was also pre-genetically engineered to do what she does. And she does some amazing things, and we'll not go into that today. But bottom line is, folks, a lot of these people are born into this. It was, you know, it was predestined for them. They were genetically altered. There's things that have happened to them that make them the way they are. Now, having said that, there's a whole component that most people don't realize. Supposedly, we have the ability through the yellow cube or the book or whatever it's called to look into the future. So I started thinking, well, if we're able to do that, couldn't they pick and choose who they need to genetically alter us into the psychic warriors that they're maybe trying to create? And that's how we get chosen to do what we do, is they're genetically altering us, just like the Greys may be taking us and genetically getting material to save their planet by, you know, altering us in some way with their program. Maybe the MyLabs, the other aliens that are working with our military, the Nazi time-traveling dimensional people that are the evil part of this whole equation, and the satanic worshipers who need these little minions to go out there and kill the people they want them to kill without any remorse to it. Maybe this is a whole giant program that they're building out of looking into the future and seeing who they need the different DNA and the genetics from to create this type of person. And that's just my take on it right now, folks. I don't know where that whole theory is going, but I'm kind of coming to a conclusion that that may be where they're getting their information from, is actually from the future. And I know I sound like I'm a whack job and I'm crazy, but believe me, 2 years ago I was a normal human being having a normal job, and you know, then this all sprung on me. But I did leave myself open to it in 2009 after I got ill. So I guess they were just getting ready to let me know that this is what's going to happen to you. So,
well, let me say this: there's nothing abnormal about considering possibilities.
Well, of course, and I'm not sure mine are even right or correct, but what we're finding out is the more people I talk to about it that are in the programs, and they go, oh, yeah, that makes total sense, and that explains why blah, blah, blah happened to me, okay? And see, this is how we're going to break down how this is all being done, why it's being done, and who's doing it. We're going to do that by exploring the different possibilities and then talking amongst ourselves. This is A1 Prime here, folks. They don't want us all together talking like this, because out of that comes these thoughts, these ideas, and ways to battle them back. Mm-hmm.
So okay. How do you get these people together for a conference and not have a bloodbath on the stage?
Well, you know, it was amazing to me. I really don't know how it happened the first time. I was so naive, thank God. I just started connecting with them. First, it was James Rink and then Max Spears at the conference. And we thought Duncan and Aaron were going to be there, and it turned out they weren't, which was fine. And James turned me on to a woman. He said, call her. She's been involved. And then somebody else said, oh, Lauren, you've got to meet this lady. She's amazing. She's been involved for years. She's been waiting for somebody to do something like this. And then, you know, the next thing I know, it's just snowballing at me, and I've got six very strong people that are in the program that I put up on stage at the very first Super Soldier Summit to tell their stories to the audience. I have never released those files. They will never be on YouTube. They will never be anywhere to be bought, sold, or anything, because those are private conversations to the audience that came to that particular summit. So those people will, you know, go to their death with only knowing what those people said at that time. But I do it for another reason also, is because the super soldiers are so ridiculed and so belittled and trolled and pounced on the internet that I try to protect them as much as I can. So I'm not releasing that. But I also brought in four experts, and that was Lauren Murray, on mind control, because she was one of the first people that blew the whistle on what they were doing at Lawrence Livermore Lab here in Livermore, California, with a bunch of children in a house with a miniature HAARP array in the backyard. They were doing Manchurian Candidate, personality splitting, mind control experiments back in the 70s in Livermore. Or was it the 60s? I don't remember. But she told all about that at my first Super Soldier Summit. And Douglas Dietrich, who is the guy that is the whistleblower for the San Francisco Presidio as the burner of all the documents there, and saw many documents about mind control and Roswell. I mean, we can go on and on about what Douglas has. He's an amazing guy. But he talked about his experience working with Michael Aquino, who played is a big part in the Super Soldier Summit. I mean, part of the Super Soldier programs, huge part. And him working for him, and then one night when a satanic being got loose within a ritual that was going on at the Presidio base. So he talked about that at the first summit. And I also had Eva Moore, who spoke about her husband, Bill Brockbrader, and about what happened to him before he came out as a super soldier on Project Camelot, and what happened to him, you know, since. And he's been in jail, and there's just been a lot of things happening, and he couldn't present, so she did for him. So, and she talked about what it's like, you know, being married to and living with a person who is a super soldier, and what she has done to help him, you know, move on from a lot of the experiences that he's had and, you know, become a whole human being. And then the last person I had that...
Hang on just a second.
I'm sorry,
before we go any further, for those who don't know, you mentioned Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino, folks, is a high-ranking military officer. Last thing I knew of him was he was a colonel. He may be higher than that now. He may be a brigadier or a general. I don't know. But he is in the chaplain program as a satanic chaplain.
He is the satanic chaplain for the Army and, well, all of the armed services, I believe, now.
And he is the founder and head of
the Temple of Set. That's right. And that's why I'm telling you, folks, this is, I feel like I walked into a circus and there are 16 rings around it. And in each ring intersects this main circle that says Super Soldier, and in one is Michael Aquino, and the next one is and Satanism, and the next one is the Nazis, and it, you know, it just goes on and on around the circle. But that's truly what it is, because there's no one faction of Super Soldiers, and that people have just got to realize. You got to dispel that myth. There are many factions, many ways they've used them, many things they've done to them. There is no two Super Soldiers alike out there. And there's different programs, and there's failed people. Like, for example, I'll say this on air, and I think Douglas would agree with me. We both feel that he was brought in to be the next successor to Michael Aquino, and he'd also been experimented on quite a bit as a child at Army Letterman Hospital, and they brought him in at 16 to do this job as Aquino's assistant. Which I find fascinating. You know, Douglas never really realized what was happening in his life until he and I met. And he and I were thrown together, which is very interesting, too, before the Super Soldiers. So that's another story for another day. But, you know, we believe that he's what we call a failed Super Soldier. And once you fail in one part of their program, they don't just say, oh, okay, fine, we'll let him go, you know. No, no, no. They take you and they throw you to another whole program, and then they may turn on, you know, equipment that makes you think you're a chicken and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they never say, oh, let's let them go and let's let them live a normal life, you know. One of the mottos of all the super soldiers I know is, please, all I want to do is buy a house, have a garden, and sit in my house and have a normal life and have a wife and a kid, you know, that type of thing. It's all they wish for. They don't wish for money. They don't wish for anything. They just want to sit in their house and be left alone and not have any problems and, you know, farm. I ask it to a T. If you ask any of them what they want to do, they all say, I want to be a farmer. It's so weird. I've never seen anything like it. But so anyhow, we're going in so many different directions. I don't even know. Where do you want to go now, Kevin?
That's all right. We'll just saddle up and ride off in every direction at the same time. It's not a problem. What we're going to do, you and I are going to talk, just you and me, until the next break, and then I'm going to open the phone lines if anybody wants to join the conversation.
Oh, my.
And, you know, if they want to call in and ask you a question or make a comment or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'd love that.
But I do want to address this about the super soldiers. Because of the comics and because of the comments made in Wikipedia and because of some sci-fi movies, people have the idea that super soldiers are these Arnold Schwarzenegger types, you know, and they've got some kind of Superman abilities, you know, that they can deflect bullets and, you know, leap tall buildings in a single bound and things like that. There are some who are the super physical specimens. Most are just normal looking people.
That's correct. As far as the comic book version of these super soldiers, I would say that there are a few of them that I've run into along the way that do have shown me that they do have some extraordinary skills, mm-hmm. as far as strength or mind power. But I would say the number one thing that they all have in common that is more often than not is the fact that they're fairly psychic. And they have pretty strong mind power going for them. And I would think that that is part of the breeding that they've done when they created these children and these men now or these women now. And I think the other part of it is the fact that they never really go to school. They never really live a normal life like anybody else. So their mind is always open much more to, instead of being indoctrinated into what I call the sheeple path of, you know, you go to school, you get a job, you go to college, you do whatever, you get married, you have three kids, you know, you work till you die, mm-hmm. that type of thing. They don't even think like that. That type of life isn't even part of their existence. You wouldn't even believe how most of these kids are grown up and how many countries they've been to and how many things they've done. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me. So
I must be a super soldier. And I was trained to support the normal life, marriage and everything. Because I keep doing it.
Huh.
I just keep getting married, you know.
So, wait a minute, Kevin. Did you just admit to me that you've been married like 500 times?
No. Three.
Three? Well, yeah. That's good. Hey, yeah. Everybody should do it three times.
No, no. get the right one the first time and call it quits right there.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with everyone, I lived with the first boyfriend and married him, and then the second one I married, and then the third one just lived together. And I just thought, you know, that's plenty, that's enough, you know, three's a charm. We'll leave it at that.
The super soldier programs, and here on the show we've heard about a number of them, seem, no matter what they're being trained to do, whatever else they're being trained to do, they do all seem to come out of it with sharpened, heightened psychic ability.
They are. They're amazing people. I mean, mm-hmm. and I could give you an example, everyone. At Henderson, when we were all there, I can tell you the room was just, everybody was practically reading each other's mind. That's how amazing it was at this last Super Soldier Summit. You know, I had planned that summit to be more of an online event than a physical people be there event. I got a very small room. I didn't expect more than 100 people. I think we had 50 or 60 paying people to be there, but I'm telling you, the energy in that room with just the 50 people and all the super soldiers, I had 12 experts and 12 super soldiers, and oh my God, I can't even begin to tell you, folks. I am in the process, actually today, loading up the videos from the Super Soldier Summit, and they will be at supersoldiersummit.com. Within the next 24 to 48 hours at the latest, because I'm having a little bit of trouble with Firefox. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But we're getting them up there so people can purchase the whole event and watch it, and they'll be able to watch all the expert speakers. And I'm telling you, folks, if you watch this, I think your mind is going to be blown open. Carrie Cassidy, Melinda Leslie, and about four other people came up to me after the conference, and they said, "This changed everything for me. This changed everything I'm doing from here on out. I'm looking at it completely different. I am incorporating all the Super Soldier information with the MyLabs information, with the time travel, with the targeted individuals, with this, with that. And now I'm starting to see the big picture." You know, for so long, Kevin, you go to these conferences and everybody's talking the same thing. I saw a UFO and it did this or did that, or mm-hmm. or yes, there's a conspiracy, they killed JFK, or, you know, whatever. Or I'm a super soldier and this is what happened to me. And that's wonderful, all said and good. It's great that everybody's getting their stories out. But really, the question is, where is this all leading us, and how can we change the world with our knowledge that we have about being super soldiers or MyLabs or TIs or whatever, so that this doesn't perpetuate itself, it doesn't keep going, and we don't let these evil people who are doing it to them continue on in this fashion. I mean, they're making these people miserable, and nobody really understands it. And that's why I'm out there. I'm trying to educate people is what happens. I'm trying to get the super soldiers themselves to be less dramatic and try to get along with each other. And for some reason, I'm in the center of it, and I can get them all together. And I don't know what it is. I've been told that I was sent here to do this. I don't believe it, because I don't believe in that type of thing. I think we each make our own destiny. But you know, the reality is there's some kind of magic going on here where I can get them together. It may just be that it was time and I was in the right place at the right time making that decision to put on a conference. It may have just been the time, you know, with the, what they call this, what is it, the 100th monkey thing, where everybody suddenly decides it's okay to talk about the super soldiers and get it out there. So that may be it as well. It may have just been the right place, right time. But I am getting them together as often as I can, once a year right now, and we're really trying to make headway with so people understand the plight and get rid of the drama and the crazy stories and the, you know, like they can jump off of buildings and all that, you know. Well, maybe in an altar they can. Maybe in another dimension they can, just like Andrew Bisciaggio did supposedly on Mars, you know. Who knows, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you could do stuff like that on Mars much easier than you can here, because you only have like 40% of the gravity. So, seriously, you know, you take Earth strength to Mars, it's kind of magnified there. I am on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello, Lorian.
Hello, Rusty.
What is something, is there something like you can point to that we can say, yes, this program is real without having to connect 50,000 dots?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, I would definitely say that the Duncan O'Finian story is probably true, and the Aaron McCullen story is true. If you want to look at those on Carrie Cassidy's website, projectcamelot.org, I believe it is. One of the problems is, though, I'm personally starting to wonder if only, you know, maybe 50% of what these guys are recalling and telling as stories is true, and the other 50% is screen memories. So it's really hard to say to you, yeah, you can just look at this guy's story and it's true and you can follow that path because that's real. Because, you know, really, we don't know if any of it's real. And my motto and how I opened my conference is this: if even 1% of what's happened to me is real, it's enough to make me mad enough that I did what I did. I started producing these conferences and starting interacting with the super soldier and mind-controlled community. And I don't know how to answer that for you. Because, you know, where can I point that says Michael Prince's story is the path, or Max Spears' story is the path, or Sarah's story is the path, or James Rink, or, you know, I could go down the list. Who do we know? You know,
You know, here's another way to look at it. First of all, Rusty, do you remember when we had Aaron McCullum on two or three times? You remember?
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember this, but he told us, because I asked, you know, how do you know that's a memory, a real memory, and not a screen memory? And he said, I don't.
That's right.
Okay, so even they are not sure. But see, what you just said, Lorian, would be true of radio hosts. If I get up and tell at a conference on, it's a conference on how to start your own radio show, I can tell you how I did it, and I can tell you what I do. But you get up, and your path to radio was entirely different, and you will tell something entirely different about the path to the mic.
That's right.
And, and I think that's what we're faced with, Rusty. I think each of them is sort of custom-made.
I agree. And, you know, that's pretty much the answer, Kevin. And, you know, the reality is, Rusty, I'm hoping, and this is my dream, and I'll tell everybody this on air, too. It's the first time I've ever brought this up. I'm hoping that I can build a community of these super soldiers and mind control people. I'm going to, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to throw it out to the universe. I want to buy a giant piece of property up in Sonoma County in Northern California, and I want to build apartments and homes and places for them to all live, because it breaks my heart every day when they each tell me, all I want to do is have a home and a place to live, and I grow my own food and be left alone. That's all they tell me. You know, I want to deprogram myself. I just want to get out there and be, you know, taken care of by Mother Earth, and that's it. So, you know, that's my goal. That's my big dream, is that someday somebody will say, here's $1 million and go buy that property and take care of all these guys. I feel like I'm their mother. It's a very strange loyalty I have with them, and I just want to help them get away from all the pain and the things that have happened to them over the years. And believe me, folks, it's not pretty. People glamorize these four super soldiers to the point of ad nauseum, and I'm really, you know, if you knew the truth about these kids, you would just, or kids, or I call them my kids, they're 30, 40 year old men and women, and 20 year old men and women, and they're just, their lives are miserable, absolutely miserable.
You think there's a possibility between super soldiers, ET, all these different programs you have mentioned, is there a possibility that everyone on Earth is being messed with in some way then?
Oh, yes. That is the number one thing. I get on my show every week and I tell the world, you have no idea. Everybody on this planet, except for people that may be in a tribe off in the middle of nowhere that no one's messed with yet, anybody that is near electronics is being mind controlled in some way, shape, or form. If you turn on the TV, you're mind controlled. If you listen to the Kevin Smith show, I hate to tell you, during the music, there's a beat and a rhythm and a section and a vibration that comes through all music that controls you in some way, shape, or form. Okay? No matter
where
you go.
Yeah, you don't have to be nervous about that. I talk about that. I choose that music on purpose, and I'll tell you why. All the other shows I listen to, they go to some sort of ethereal, spooky, paranormal-ish kind of music in their breaks. I don't want what we're talking about to be viewed as ethereal and spooky.
Yeah.
The things that happen to us. Rusty, you and I have talked about this before. I don't think you've ever seen a UFO, have you?
No.
Okay. When you do, you won't be in some medium's house. You'll be on your way to McDonald's.
That's
true.
It happens in our normal life. These very strange, abnormal, not abnormal, but strange, unusual things. They happen as we're going about our normal life. That is why I choose the music that I choose. It's the kind of music you would be listening to on your radio in your normal life. It's just, there's nothing esoteric about the music, you know. And so it's the beat and the sound of your normal life, because these things we talk about are happening in our normal lives.
You know, all this would be much easier if everyone could just say, okay, be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and we're going to show you the ETs, or you're going to have this experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, for people who You do realize that most of what we talk about on this show, I've never seen or experienced. Okay, I'm not a super soldier, you know, so I haven't seen or experienced what they have. And for us, you know, I'm in the same position with super soldiers that you're in with UFOs. Okay, I have seen UFOs. You haven't. I haven't seen and experienced this super soldier stuff. So I'm in the same position with that as you are with UFOs. So for people in our position, Rusty, our curiosity just has us going, man, I want to see something, you know.
And you know what's interesting about that is if you talk to the super soldiers, now the ones that are similar to like the born identity types or, you know, whatever, the people that are very grounded 3D and do these black ops things and then wake up and don't have a memory, kind of like they're more like the Manchurian candidate type of super soldier.
Yeah.
Those guys don't remember anything they've done. Those guys are the ones that really, at about 30 to 35, they just kill themselves and they know they've done some horrific thing, but they just can't remember it. If you've ever seen the remake of The Manchurian Candidate with Denzel, I have three guys right now that can't even watch that movie because it sends them into like a tailspin of such severe emotion and torture mentally that they can't watch it because they become extremely suicidal. They know that that movie is so close to being real. Now, if you'll remember in that movie, there's a very interesting part where he thinks he's seen Medusa's head and dancers and people in the room. And that is what I figured out later after watching that movie. That's the screen memory part where they're exaggerating everything that's happening so that the soldier or the super soldier or the program victim thinks that it's not real. Okay, because then what it does to the mind is it pops it into the subconscious saying, that couldn't be real. Okay, so anything I'm doing there doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's all fantasy. Okay, and that's how they do it. And then at the end of the movie, you see that all it really was a bunch of wires hooked up to their heads, and they're being programmed by a visual stimuli on the wall from a projector. And being hypnotized and programmed.
Rusty, so, have you ever had a dream that seemed so real you wondered?
Oh yeah, almost consistently.
Yeah, well, okay. In a way, as I understand it, that's what these guys have to deal with all the time.
Exactly.
But instead of wondering if it's real, it feels like a memory. They wake up from it and know more than they dreamed, sort of.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you've got it.
Definitely not the extent that they're having it, you know. That seems like that would be very troubling.
Listen, I thank God I was not in the super soldier program.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really do. And, I mean, there are things that I was subjected to that if given the choice again and knowing what I know now, I would say thanks, but no thanks. Okay? Just no thanks. And I wouldn't travel the path that I passed.
I found out something very interesting just recently. I was talking to some guys that had just been at boot camp or whatever they call it when they go into the Marines. Is it boot camp in the Marines? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, they told me that it was very interesting when they were in their first day of being in a classroom type situation. There was an instructor that came in and started talking, and he started talking in a very drone voice, and he went on and on and on and on. And people started falling asleep because he would go on like this for 5 and 6 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. And the guys that started falling asleep first, or the ones that couldn't stay awake or whatever, they were escorted out of the room at the end of the day and put in a special unit. And
very
what that's
suggestive.
Telling me is that those guys were easily hypnotized because they go right under when they hear monotone whatever, and the Army's using them in some kind of, or the Marines are using them in some kind of program that we're unaware of.
Did you know I'm trained to do that?
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
You're a hypnotist?
No. But I am a trained hostage negotiator, and that's part of the training.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that could be what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I just thought it was very interesting to hear that because, boy, what a way to, you know, instantly pick out who you want to use to, you know, go do stuff covertly without them even knowing they did it, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Rusty? Are you, is it easy to put you to sleep?
No.
No? Well, the way you do it is you just talk in the same tone of voice like this and not very loud, and you just keep droning away like this, and you go on and on and on and on and on. And you don't ask very many questions that cause their minds to engage.
Exactly.
I guess I always have my mind with me. I'm one of those kind of people. I can sit in a dark room and sit there for 2 hours and think and then get up and go do what I want to do.
Yeah, if I know it's being done to me, I can fend it off, and I do that by reciting poems and stuff in my head. Several people attempted to call in while we were talking with Rusty, and I didn't take your calls, and you didn't hang on. But the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. Or if you're outside the USA, outside of Canada, you can use an additional option called the Flash Message by going to my website. Look for the link right above the picture about tonight's show. We are talking this evening with Lorian Fenton about super soldiers, and we are on final approach. We only have a few minutes left. Lorian,
oh, I wish we had another 2 hours.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I you know, I don't talk about this much as I texted you in the SMM chat there.
Uh-huh.
I hardly ever talk about this, Kevin. And, you know, I finally realized about the day after the last Super Soldier Summit, it's time I get out there, talk about it, and let people know what's going on. Because, you know, it's such an insidious thing they're doing to these people that, you know, the world needs to know. And it's amazing to me how many people don't want to believe that they're even being mind-controlled by their TV, you know? So I know I've got a big uphill battle, and, you know, I've got a lot of conversion to do. I'm going to be standing on a soapbox for a long time. But people really need to know what's happening out there because it does affect their life in some little way, no matter what. It does affect their life.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi, Miss Fenton.
Hello.
You pronounced the My Labs program as My Labs and not Mill Labs. That's correct pronunciation, correct?
That's a good question because one person I know says Mill Labs. I say My Labs, and Melinda Leslie says My Labs. And, you know, it's just, it depends on who you are and what you want to call it.
Just let me say this. I think if it was Mill Labs, there would be two L's in there. And I'll just let that be right there.
I agree with you on that because you're talking military laboratory experiments is basically what it's pretty, that an acronym is for. So, yes, I agree with you. It would be Mill Labs or whatever. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay. My question to you then is, if you were in charge of this program, why would you want a product that has a shelf life of only 30 to 34 years?
You know, I've been asked that question many a time, and I've got a good answer for you. Because I can, and because I don't care, and because they could last till they're 12, and they're expendable. You would be surprised at how many of them only make it to 1 year old. Now think about that.
I see where you're going. That is basically they're expendable and they don't really care.
Well,
they
and it's also care. It is risk management.
Yeah.
Another thing that happens,
Kevin, and I just want to, I'm sorry to cut you off, but there is a chemical aspect of this that I haven't even gotten into yet through the hormonal structure of the human body that I'm starting to find out plays a huge part in why these guys start breaking down about 28 to 35. is because there's less one chemical happening in their body, and they're more of another, and it affects the brain structure, and it allows for different parts of the brain to maybe be more accessed. And what people don't realize is we actually use 100% of our brain. It's just that whether you can access it through the neural synapses process, it fluctuates. Mm-hmm. And with different people at different times in their life and whatever, and the older you get, you actually are creating more neural pathways. If you don't do drugs and drink and abuse yourself, you are going to actually get smarter as you get older. And most people don't want to hear
that. That's why I'm a genius, because I'm an old guy.
You know, I'm catching up with you. I might be considered brilliant here soon. Who knows?
Yeah. Jerome, how old are you?
I'm 62.
Hey, man. A kid. Just a kid.
So, Jerome, I don't mean to, poo-poo
Fenton,
question or whatever, but I'm just telling you,
guest,
the people,
and,
I don't think the people that are doing it,
you just gave
I think
me
it's
again.
Aliens involved with military, with all types of things, and they don't have empathy. You've got to remember something. You don't do this type of thing to a human being, a normal human being, if you're a normal human being, too.
You know what? That's true. These people are monsters.
Exactly.
And I like your program about having a location for these people, if you had $1 million and that. But I really don't think that that's it's just treating a symptom and not getting rid of the disease.
Well, and I thank you for that. And you know what? It's not going to be what you think, because what I've already figured out is I've had more success in the last year helping these guys, because it's very simple how you get them to change and help them become productive members of society, which is what I'm actually working towards with them. At this compound or center or whatever I'm going to build, they can only stay 1 year. They have to learn a trade. They have to start doing things. They have to get schooling and education. One of the things they take away from all these guys is education. And it's really sad. They give them basic, reading and writing skills, but beyond that, these guys are not scholars in any way, shape, or form. And the more informed they become, and the more they read, and the more they understand what's happening to them on a psychological level, the faster they get out of wherever they're stuck at.
And so, let me throw this in. This is a Kevinism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what a Kevinism is?
No, but I'm going to learn, all right.
Well, it's part of my religion.
Okay.
My religion is I am a Kevinist. Okay. And Kevinisms come out of the first, second, or third book of Kevin. One of them is you got to live till you don't. Okay. But here's a Kevinism. Knowledge is not power. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom.
That's right.
When you know the secrets, they no longer have the power over you.
That's exactly true. And that's what I'm trying to do, Kevin. That is the crux of the thing here. I want to give a place for these guys that they can go after they've contacted me or whoever, whatever. I'm actually going to bring in psychologists. I've got a whole, believe me, I was the administrative director for 450 marriage and family therapists here in Marin County. I know a million psychologists and marriage and family therapists, and there are a handful of them in Northern California that only deal with my labs mentoring candidates and alien abduction people.
Wow.
So I've got, built in Northern California, thank God, I've got these people, pretty much within walking distance of where I want to put this place. And, these guys are going to get treatment, they're going to get help, they're going to get schooling, they're going to get a career, they're going to get a hobby, maybe they'll learn how to grow beans, I don't know, but...
you need to have me come out and teach them how to be a rock star.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they want, I want them to be happy and have their heart's desire, because right now they have no desire, they have no hope, and they just feel helpless.
Yeah.
And so all I want to do is give them some hope and help and send most of them on their merry way. Now, there's another part to this project that I want to tell you about tonight.
You have to do it real quick, because we only have about 30
seconds
great. Here.
Well, quickly, I want to make it a place for older people in the fringe and UFO community and whatever to have a place to live, because 90% of the guys out there that have been fighting the UFO battle all these years. They're sleeping on couches and on floors, and you guys wouldn't even believe it. These are 70-year-old men that are out there that are single, that have no life because they spoke out about what goes on out there in the world. And I know five right offhand that could use a place that they could call home, even if it's just a little apartment somewhere, and being taken care of, because these guys are brave and have gone out there and fought the good fight. And we deserve to take care of them in our community.
That sounds like great stuff. It really does. Jerome, thanks for the call, man. We got to run because we're at the end of the show. Lorian, very quick, you got 10 seconds. Give us your website.
SuperSoldierSummit.com, and the show itself will be up there within 48 hours, and you'll be able to purchase the conference, and I hope you all do and support my efforts. So thank you for that.
Outstanding. Lorian, just stay online with me for a moment. I'd like to chat with you just a bit after I bring this in for a landing. There you go, folks. Super Soldiers from Lorian Fenton. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you wish to call me.